Now for our Tiger Scout Notebook segment, and it's brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health Systems, totally focused on patient care. We have on with us from Sports Illustrated, who covers the LSU Tigers, Zach Nagy. Zach, thanks so much for joining us early this morning. Really appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, of course, man. Let's get it.
Zach, this sort of looks like a strength against strength, weakness against weakness. Because if you look at South Carolina on their football team, I think the strength certainly is up front along the defensive line. LSU's offensive line was supposed to be the real strength, and they've done a really good job in pass protection. I'm not going to take anything away from there. They've given Garrett a lot of time to throw the football. They have not run block well, and that's just sort of strange to me. But in watching South Carolina last year, man, they had Spencer Rattler running for his life. Their offensive line was not very good at all. But LSU's defensive line, and now losing Jacoby and Guillory, that ain't a strength on LSU's team either. So it's strength against strength and weakness against weakness here, and kind of where the bow breaks with both of these teams. We'll find out a lot more about how good they are after this game.
Yeah, no doubt. And for me, it's a game that's going to be won and lost in the trenches. And that's kind of a cliche take. I think that's most games. But for this one specifically, you look at a South Carolina defensive line led by freshman phenom Dylan Stewart. I mean, this is a guy out of high school who's a five-star recruit, but he's playing like a six-star recruit. This guy looks absolutely phenomenal out on the edge. And it's going to put LSU's offensive line to the test here. You have two of the top tackles in the country in Will Campbell and Emory Jones. And they're going to be going up against a really, really phenomenal South Carolina defensive line unit. So it's going to be a game won and lost in the trenches here. And then looking at the other side of the ball for LSU, look, that defensive tackle rotation is going to be one to keep tabs on. It's kind of a matchup to watch this week. Obviously, South Carolina's offensive line isn't necessarily stellar, but you kind of say the same about LSU's defensive line right now. There's work to be done, like you alluded to, with Jacoby and Guillory out. So you're going to have to see other guys step up, whether it's Gio Paez, JVR Suggs, Shone Washington, true freshman Ahmad Bro. There are guys who are going to have to step up here and enter the mix in a big way. So, yeah, for sure, this is going to be one that's won and lost in the trenches, and we'll see that early on.
The linebacking core, we've heard Brian Kelly talk about it. It'll be a lot more of the three linebacker sets with Greg Penn, Whit Weeks, Harold Perkins, wherever they're going to use him at. Not they got to use him out on the edge, Zach. I mean, come on, you got to play to his strength as a player. And that is his ability to get off the line of scrimmage and be disruptive in the backfield. Let the NFL fool with him as far as developing his skills and pass protection. And he's going to fill out that frame more physically better. But for LSU today, it's about what's best for you. And he's best out on the edge rushing the quarterback.
He is. And it's a matter of kind of Blake Baker putting his players in position to be successful. And in order for Harold Perkins to be successful, he has to be out on the edge. That's his bread and butter. We saw it his freshman year. Obviously, in year two, there was kind of a decline because they put him back at that linebacker position. So put him out on the edge, let him work, and you're going to see a really nice three linebacker unit today. And it starts with Harold Perkins, but obviously, Whit Weeks has got to keep tabs on. This has been your best defensive player through the first two games of the season. And look, Whit's a fantastic player. He has a really good twitchiness, athleticism, gets off his block well. So I'm excited to see Whit kind of take on an expanded role alongside Harold Perkins. There's always that conversation, can those two guys coexist? Well, today you're going to get a taste of that, and I'm really excited to see how Whit kind of plays out. But when it comes to Harold Perkins, yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. He's got to be on the edge and kind of let him get in the backfield and pass rush, and we're going to see that today.
Herb?
Yeah, Zach, you hit it on the head. You got Raheem Sanders, Lenorius Sellers, Robbie Ashford, and Jared Brown. Those are the leading rushers for South Carolina, right? And Raheem Sanders is the only running back. You got two quarterbacks and a wide receiver that's the other lead rusher. So you're going to have some guys out there that can run, you know, run stop, if you will. You know, we're talking a lot about defense, but offensively, how can LSU get their run game going today against South Carolina? Do you see that happening today at any point?
I do, and it's going to start by keeping it simple. And instead of kind of working Will Campbell as a lead blocker on the outside and pulling, I think you just need to keep it basic and kind of work with your bread and butter here. You're going to see a lot of Josh Williams, in my opinion, just because he's such an elite-level pass protector. So you're going to try to get him going early, throw in Caleb Jackson as well. I mean, he's a bowling ball downfield. So it's not even necessarily to me about getting the running kind of rushing attack going. It's about getting your running backs going, whether it's kind of checking down to Caleb Jackson on the screen play and letting him turn it upfield. Because, look, he's scared to tackle. It's a 6 foot, 235 pound monster with the ball in his hand. You do not want to get in his way. So I know the rushing attack is where a lot of people are going to be talking about kind of getting that rolling early. But to me, it's just getting the running backs involved early as a whole, whether it's Josh Williams in the pass pro or Caleb Jackson on some checkdowns in the flat.
Zach, I think one of the things Herb brought up in our first hour was about Aaron Anderson and his use. You see the extended role with him, also Xavion Thomas, in these little quick bubble screens, and if you're going to use the jet sweep. I want to see the development of a number two receiver now. That guy probably won't play today, and that's Chris. He won't play today, and Chris Hilton. But C.J. Daniels, they got to get him the football and more involved in the game. And because of the elbow injury against USC, we didn't see a lot of Kyle Parker when he expected to play today. I think the development of a number two guy has to be there. The one thing I give Kyron, he's taking the challenge of being the number one guy, and he's doing his job. Now, somebody else got to be able to help out at that wide receiver position.
Yeah, for sure. Kyron's lived up to kind of the hype so far this year. He's been fantastic through 2 weeks. And like you said, now it's about kind of developing that second guy. And with Chris Hilton out once again, all focus shifts to C.J. Daniels. We've seen Xavion Thomas and Aaron Anderson become Swiss Army knives for this team. They've been fantastic in the short game, intermediate game. But when it comes to a guy like C.J. Daniels, he can kind of unlock a whole different element for this offense, whether it's short, intermediate, or the deep ball. He's a physical receiver who has tremendous tools to go up and get the football. So C.J. Daniels is obviously going to be a guy that you try to keep tabs on here, but Mason Taylor's really provided that kind of second pass catcher spot. He's been fantastic in the short game. His hands have been phenomenal. He's getting down and dirty. He's doing really everything you want. But when it comes to that wide receiver two slot, it's all about C.J. Daniels here. And it's a step up in competition from where he was at last year at Liberty. Now he's entering SEC play against a South Carolina team who has a fiery defense. It's kind of up to him to step up here and provide Garrett Nussmeier with a second receiver who can become consistent like Kyron Lacy has through 2 weeks. So you kind of hit it right there. That's a guy who has all the attention circled to him to become that second receiver.
How would you grade out what we've seen from DJ Chester at center? A lot of times, this is just my opinion, other than in the quarterback spot, I think it's the hardest position to play. I don't care if you're a freshman, redshirt, freshman, whatever. Because not only do you have to know what you're doing, but you got to understand who the four other guys you're making the calls and adjustments to. And most importantly, you better make damn sure that snap is correct on every snap. I mean, it's not, 50% of the time. It's 100 out of 100 times. You got to make the snap right. Looking over it in DJ, I think he's had some good moments. He's also been at times a little bit shaky in the run blocking game, where I thought that would be his strength. I thought he'd be a much stronger run blocker at the point of attack. So your thoughts on what you've seen from DJ Chester, who played some a little bit last year, but really now he's the anchor up front. He's the man in the middle and making those adjustment calls. And I think you're going to see a lot of delay blitzes come from South Carolina today, right up the chute.
Yeah, the center position is kind of the position that makes the engine go on the offensive line. And DJ Chester's done a fantastic job so far. Obviously, there's going to be hiccups here and there just because you're returning four out of your five starters on the offensive line from a season ago, DJ Chester being that new guy up front. So there's always going to be a couple hurdles, a couple hiccups here and there. And we've certainly seen that in the run game so far. But from a pass protection perspective, he's been fantastic,
as
has the entire offensive line. But for me, it's all about kind of just diversifying the playbook and allowing that rushing attack to evolve. And it's going to start with a guy like DJ Chester up front, picking up defenses and kind of passing that on to the other guys. So I'm excited to see what he can do to step up and allow the offense to diversify that playbook, get a little bit more creative. Obviously, it starts with the big guys up front in the trenches, and DJ Chester is going to play a big part there. But through 2 weeks, I've been impressed. It's just all about continuing to hit his stride and evolve as the weeks go on here in the 2024 season.
One of the things, Zach, you brought up to us when we had you on Sports Talk was the development of the young safeties. And Deshaun Spears and Colin Jackson and Jordan Allen, and Jordan won't play today from all indications. But you see now Colin Jackson and, you know, and Deshaun Spears having a much bigger impact and a quicker impact. And Jaden Gilbert, who came in with a lot of fanfare from Texas A&M, he hasn't maybe so far lived up to the billing of coming in as that big-time recruit that could solidify your safety position. It's been the young kids that's been the talk of the safety spot.
Yeah, no doubt. Jordan Gilbert was a guy who a lot of people would have circled as an immediate impact guy, a player who would come in and step up for this team so far on the defense. And like you alluded to, we haven't quite seen that so far. We didn't see him get significant snaps last week. He was underwhelming in week one against USC. So, you know, it's kind of been about the youngsters. And for me, it's about Deshaun Spears. This is a guy who, when we spoke on Sports Talk, I was kind of just eager to talk about. He's a hard hitter. He's electric. He's long. He's lanky. He's the prototypical LSU DB, and he's really stepping up to the plate so far as a true freshman. Obviously, we can talk about Kylan Jackson because he's a guy who's been fantastic as a redshirt freshman. But for me, when I'm looking at the youngsters right now, it's all about Deshaun Spears. I think he's going to take on a really big role today, obviously with Jordan Allen out today. But you're going to see a lot of guys rotate in. You're going to see four cornerbacks, four safeties. But specifically at the safety position that we're talking about, it's going to be Deshaun Spears, Kylan Jackson, Jordan Gilbert, and Sage Ryan. Those are guys that are going to be making an impact here. And I'm excited to see how they kind of work with it. Throw in Major Burns as well, who's going to drop back at the safety. You have a lot of guys who can come in and do a by-committee approach, take 20 to 30 snaps, 15 to 20 snaps each, and work from there. But I'm excited to see what Deshaun Spears can do today, Mike. I really think that he can step up to the plate in a big-time SEC game and continue to carve out a big-time role in his first season with LSU.
Zach, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate it. Go get you a cup of coffee and a little breakfast, and we appreciate your time and insights. Thank you, Zach.
I appreciate it, you guys. You have a good one.
All righty. That's a wrap on our Tiger Scout Notebook.